Welcome to the Georgine Rice Show podcast. This program was originally broadcast live on 93.9 KPDQ. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Friday edition of the Georgine Rice Show. Because it's Friday, we're going to take the first couple of segments talking about the week in headlines. Then I've invited James Blend to join me for the next couple of segments to take a look at the lighter side of the news. And then for those of you in the Portland area, we'll share this week's Christian Outlook. And in Seattle, you'll be signing off. Well, taking a look at the big news stories of the week, of course, the solar eclipse was the number one story. It swept across the United States, with some states in the path of totality. I happened to be on a Zoom call at the time it was to occur here. I stopped the meeting, turned, swiveled, look out the window, and it looked like any other day in Oregon, covered in clouds. My guess is you had something similar in the Seattle area. Anyway, the solar eclipse began to hit North America on Wednesday, with millions of Americans viewing the rare event. The line of totality, or where there was complete sun coverage, spanned 15 states, but a partial eclipse appeared in all continental U.S. states, according to NASA. One of the big news stories. One of the stories that broke late this week was the family of Hall of Fame running back O.J. Simpson announced Thursday that the former Buffalo Bills star died after battling prostate cancer. That prompted reactions from around the NFL community. He was 76. Of course, some people remember him for his stellar football career. Others remember his post-football career, in which he was a commentator. He was a movie star, essentially. But most people remember him as the person accused of killing his wife and her friend. Well, God knows the truth behind that story, and he is now accountable for whatever may have happened. And other news stories from the week in review. Now, IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, withdrew most troops from the southern Gaza. Now, that's probably just temporary, but as of earlier this week, the Israeli Defense Forces, they announced a full withdrawal of ground forces from the southern Gaza. That was on Sunday, leaving a smaller force to maintain operations in the whole of that strip. The Israeli Prime Minister also delivered remarks at the beginning of a cabinet meeting. That was on Sunday, reiterating that Israel would not agree to any ceasefire unless Hamas freed all the remaining hostages. Well, that has become something of a thorny issue, in that Hamas has admitted they have no idea, at least they're claiming, where 40 of those individuals are and whether or not they live. Meanwhile, a top Iranian military advisor on Sunday warned Israel that none of its embassies were safe following a strike in Damascus last week. They blamed it on Israel. It killed 12 people, including two elite Iranian generals. Regional tensions have threatened to draw the Middle East into a wider conflict as Israel's war against Hamas marks 6 months. Well, it already is a wider conflict. At least geographically, it's somewhat limited at this point, but Iran is very much already involved. And again, Israel has not taken responsibility for that strike, but they are subject, as was announced by Iran earlier this week, to retaliation. Also in the news this week, Donald Trump smashed records by raising $50.5 million at a single fundraiser. And my guess is he needs those funds. The former president brought in tens of millions of dollars during an exclusive campaign fundraising event over the weekend. The Trump campaign and Republican National Committee announced on Saturday that Trump, his Palm Beach dinner, raised over $50.5 million, smashing every fundraising record in history for either a Republican or a Democrat. The statement noted that President Joe Biden's recent event in New York, which featured former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, raised only half of what Trump raised on Saturday night. And former President Trump promises abortion rights will be decided by states if reelected, sidestepping a national ban that would have come through Congress, disappointing many of his supporters. Dearborn's Al-Quds Day rally featured anti-Israel and death to America chants. And the Vatican said gender theory and surrogacy violate human dignity in an ethics document. The Federal Reserve anticipated to slash interest rates this year ahead of Election Day, which will likely lead to a superficial boost to Americans feeling wealthier ahead of casting their votes. Though the cuts would have detrimental effects in the long run, according to experts, is now being rethought. I think superficial is exactly the key, because one of the things that happens when you cut interest rates is that you do get a temporary boost to the economy driven by an ease of access in terms of debt. So a lot of Americans right now, they can't afford today's punishingly high home prices with today's punishingly high interest rates. That's a quote from E.J. Antony, a research fellow with the Heritage Foundation's Grover Herman Center for the Federal Budget. If you allow interest rates to drop very quickly, then you're going to take time. It's going to take time for home prices to ramp up to counteract essentially that interest rate hike. So you get this temporary effect where Americans will feel wealthier because they're able to spend more. Now they're spending outside of their means, and the long running effects of that are going to be very detrimental. We'll continue to watch what happens with the interest rates and the economy. Hamas has, in an unsurprising development for the barbaric terrorists, rejected another ceasefire proposal this week, again demonstrating its refusal to lay down arms or exchange innocent hostages for its members held by Israel. After rejecting multiple ceasefire proposals since December, Hamas again on Monday torpedoed the latest round with Israel in Cairo, being mediated by Egyptians, Qataris, CIA Director William Burns. Meanwhile, in the U.S., those sympathetic to Hamas ended their end goal of wiping out Israel continued chanting ceasefire now to allow the terrorists to reconstitute and someday launch another devastating attack, even as Hamas rejected every new ceasefire offer put before them. And as briefly mentioned a moment ago, the Vatican declared on Monday this week that transgender surgeries, surrogacy, and gender theory are threats to human dignity, breaking with the progressive approach to social issues that Pope Francis had adopted in recent years. In a 20-page document titled Infinite Dignity, the Vatican argued these practices are comparable to euthanasia or abortion as violations of God's plan for human life. The declaration, 5 years in the making, was signed and approved by the Pope, who ordered it to be written and published some 5 years ago. In the document, the Vatican Doctrine Office formally rejects gender theory and any attempt to change one's gender for the most part, while upholding the fact that men and women are biologically different. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics has formally protected female athletics with a new transgender policy, the NAIA. They banned transgender athletes from competing in women's sports on Monday. The organization said it supported fair and safe competition for all student athletes and that Title IX ensures there are separate and equal opportunities for female athletes. The organization laid out its participation rules and conditions. Riley Gaines, who has been championing this issue, pointed out that the NAIA became the first national college governing body to mandate athletes compete with their sex in an overwhelming 25-0 vote. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says a date has been set for a Rafah invasion. There's no question mark after that statement. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said earlier this week that his government had set a date to begin operations there, even after the U.S. President Joe Biden reneged on his previous commitment to solidarity with the Jewish state in the wake of the Hamas terror strike on October 7th. In a video message, Netanyahu reiterated his commitment to continuing Israel's fight to eliminate Hamas and said there is a date for an IDF operation to neutralize terrorists in Rafah. Well, the nation saw job growth in March, but the majority of jobs went to foreign workers. Jobs grew at a brisk pace in March, but wage growth was contained, confirming a belief among economists that the U.S. can continue to expand employment without fanning inflation. U.S. employers added a seasonally adjusted 303,000 jobs in March, according to the Labor Department, significantly more than the 200,000 economists expected. The unemployment rate slipped to 3.8%. Under Biden, job gains have largely gone to foreign-born workers, both legal and illegal. That's what WJLA reported. From February of 2020 to this past March, the number of migrant workers grew to 3.4 million, while the number of U.S.-born workers declined by 78,000. And a New York appeals court denied Trump's motion to delay the hush money trial, setting up jury selection for next week, the 15th, to be more precise. Seven more states have sued to block Biden, his student loan handout plan, as lawsuits are piling up. This is his latest in a series of efforts. And a new poll reveals young women are abandoning churches in unprecedented numbers as young men are finally coming back. Hey, you're listening to The Georgine Rice Show. We'll continue to pour over the week in headlines and coming up later this hour, the lighter side of the news. So stay with us.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Friday edition of The Georgine Rice Show. Well, Scottish police have been inundated with reports since the country's controversially broad hate crime act went into effect last week, overwhelming the system to an extent that it could render law enforcement unable to address small crimes. Thousands and thousands of complaints have flooded in, according to Baroness Claire Fox of Buckley, a member of the United Kingdom's House of Lords. How would you like a name like that? Baroness Claire Fox of Buckley. Anyway, it targets certain forms of speech. Well, Fox, who has been a notable voice for free speech in the UK, opposes Scotland's latest act. Its passage and implementation have created a firestorm of controversy for those who similarly seek to protect free expression. To a certain extent, you can be sure that some of the calls are almost trolling, she continued. Among them are calls to report Scottish First Minister Hamza Yousaf's 2020 speech about white people in positions of power in the country. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, a frequent target of the far left for her views on sex, gender and free speech, is another notable subject. Well, The Telegraph reported on Tuesday that reports of hate crime, if the pattern continues, are slated to outnumber the total for all other offenses, posing a burden as police as frontline officers warned they can't cope with the surge. Approximately 8,000 reports came through within the first week of the law taking effect. The Telegraph reported the Scottish government, while promoting the initiative against hate crimes, even invented a character known as the Hate Monster, a red furry cartoon creature, in an effort to help curb acts of hatred. Well, Fox ridiculed the effort as ridiculous and patronizing, accusing it of treating the Scottish public like children. Rowling, the prominent voice for protecting single-sex spaces for women, blasted the law as the mother of all April Fool's jokes and declared free speech dead in her home country. The Arizona Supreme Court on Tuesday this week issued a decision upholding a 160-year-old ban on abortion in nearly all circumstances. That law, which was enacted as early as 1864, gives abortion providers a 2 to 5 year prison sentence, and it does not include exceptions for rape or incest. Arizona became a state in 1912. The law may only have been enforced prospectively, and enforcement will begin in 14 days. To allow the legal process to play out now that we're in the 21st century. The blanket abortion prohibition may only be temporary. Advocates are collecting signatures to refer the measure to the November 2024 ballot. A Washington judge ruled the state's high-capacity magazine ban unconstitutional on Monday, but the law will remain in place for now after an emergency order from the state Supreme Court. Cowlitz County Superior Court Judge Gary Basher ruled Washington lawmakers' 2022 ban on sales of magazines that hold more than 10 rounds violates both the state and U.S. constitutions. He issued an injunction which would have stopped the state from enforcing the ban and allowed stores to resume selling high-capacity magazines. But Washington's attorney general immediately appealed to the state Supreme Court, calling Basher's decision incorrect and arguing the law is essential to addressing mass shooting in our communities. We'll follow the story. After Hamas rejected another ceasefire proposal from Israel on Monday, reportedly due to the Hamas barbarians' inability to provide 40 living hostages as part of proposed exchanges covered by the headlines, those who wish to see Hamas survive to fight another day took to the Senate cafeteria on Capitol Hill on Tuesday afternoon to shut down the normal flow of legislation. Senate can't eat until Gaza eats, the demonstrators chanted, ignoring the reality that there's a backlog of aid waiting to enter Gaza. And once Trumps are in the country, they'll quickly be commandeered by Hamas terrorists who have shot residents trying to get their hands on that aid. Among the inane demands from the demonstrators, the Senate must endorse a ceasefire, restore UNRWA funding, and end military aid to Israel. Well, a spokesperson for House Speaker Mike Johnson on Tuesday confirmed that he would delay sending an article of impeachment against the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate at the request of conservatives in the upper chamber. The House voted to impeach Mayorkas way back in February, but hasn't sent the two articles to the Senate yet. Senate Democrats who control that chamber were expected to quickly vote this week to dismiss or table the two Mayorkas impeachment articles and move on to other business. But Republicans, they've spent this week demanding the Senate hold a full Senate trial focused on Mayorkas' handling of the border security or preventing any other business from moving forward. Norfolk Southern agreed to pay $600 million to settle lawsuits brought by individuals and businesses in connection with a toxic train derailment in Ohio early last year. The tentative settlement announced Tuesday still has details yet to be completed, including determining a formula for distributing the funds that accounts for their proximity to the derailment site. The settlement is pending approval in the U.S. District Court in Ohio, and Norfolk Southern said it doesn't reflect an admission of liability, wrongdoing, or fault, even if it actually kind of does. A teenage Michigan shooter's parents have been sentenced in a somber history. It was made yesterday in a suburban, I should say Wednesday, in a suburban Detroit courthouse where a Michigan judge sentenced the parents of a teenage school shooter to 10 to 15 years in prison on four counts of unintentional homicide for the 2021 murders of four students at Oxford High School. This marks the first time that the parents of such an assailant have been held directly responsible for the act of their child. James and Jennifer Crumbly had been convicted in separate trials that ended in February and March, while their son had earlier pled guilty to four counts of murder and is now serving life in prison. These convictions were not about poor parenting, the judge said. These convictions convey repeated acts or lack of acts that they could have taken to halt an oncoming runaway train. The consumer price index rose more than expected to 3.5% from a year ago March. The EPA has imposed the first national limits on forever chemicals in drinking water. And under pressure, the Biden administration officials successfully pressured fact-checking website Snopes to alter its rating on a fact check it conducted regarding a potential federal ban on gas stoves, according to internal communications. In early January of last year, Snopes issued a mixture rating on the claim that the Biden administration was considering a ban on gas-powered stovetops, citing comments made by a senior official overseeing product regulation. Shortly before the fact check, Richard Trumka Jr., a member of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, said such a ban was on the table. This is a hidden hazard, he said, speaking to Bloomberg at the time. Any option is on the table. Products that can't be made safe can be banned. A month earlier, Trumka said regulating gas stoves needs to be a priority, whether it's drastically reducing emissions or banning gas stoves entirely because of their climate and health impacts. But Snopes, which originally gave its mixture rating as a result of Trumka's statements, changed the rating to false, stating the CPSC is not currently considering a ban on gas stoves. Snopes only altered its article after pressure from the CPSC to do so, according to emails exchanged with the organization and White House communications officials and obtained by the watchdog group Functional Government. In other news, President Biden called on Hamas to accept the current ceasefire proposal while his administration awaits the terrorist group's response. They've already rejected it. It's now up to Hamas, the president said during a Wednesday afternoon press conference with Japanese Prime Minister Kishida Fumio. And on Wednesday, the GOP-led House blocked the advancement of a bill that sought to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, for 5 years and implement reforms on the controversial spy tool. And several people were injured in a shooting in Philadelphia at a celebration marking the end of Ramadan. Multiple people have reportedly been shot during the Eid celebration in West Philadelphia. Several people have reportedly been arrested and guns were seized from the scene. At least one police officer also fired a weapon at the scene. It's unclear exactly how many people have been shot or what extent the injuries are, but it was unexpected. Police were present and prepared, however. Three sons of a Hamas leader whose name I won't attempt to mispronounce in Israel in the airstrike have been killed. Biden said it's now up to Hamas to agree to a ceasefire proposal. And finally, the Biden administration pressured Snopes to change its fact-checking rate on the rumored gas stove ban with internal emails. You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show. Quick break. When we return, the lighter side of the news.
You're listening to the Georgene Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Georgene Rice Show. James Blind joins me as we take a look at the lighter side of the news. Hey, James.
Wow, you allowed me to join without insult. I'm kind of impressed for a change.
I haven't felt well for the last few days. That explains everything.
That does explain everything.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right in. A Central Texas couple exchanged their vows under the fading afternoon light of the Great American Solar Eclipse. I was back on the 8th, just as it approached 100% totality. It was powerful, the groom said. Of course, he couldn't see his bride. But when Noack, the 35-year-old groom, a medical sales representative, and Giselle Vento, 33, a music teacher, got engaged 3 months ago, they felt the stars had aligned in their favor. I love the author Paolo Ciaulo or something like that. And every time I read the phrase, I love you because the entire universe conspired to help me find you. Oh, brother. It resonated with me, said Vento. I've always known God has the right person for me and he's here. Referring, of course, to her fiance, now husband. As they were looking at possible wedding dresses, Vento had a cosmic idea and it involved the moon, the sun, and the absence of stars. I remember I was with my kindergarten class and we were singing a song about the eclipse. I thought, you know what? That would be cool. Plans were set into motion for an intimate backyard wedding where nature and other things, I guess, would serve as the backdrop for the sacred ceremony. In the path of 100% totality, Waco, Texas, quickly became an eclipse viewing hotspot, but forecasts of clouds and even thunderstorms loomed over the day and weeks leading up to the big event, which had some eclipse watchers concerned. Well, as of Monday morning, it was cloudy with a 74% chance of rain. A lot of people had said, oh, I'm so sorry it's going to be rainy on your wedding day. But we decided to release control and allow it to just happen. That's something Kelby has taught me, to allow life to come as it comes and be grateful for it, end quote. When they woke up on Monday morning, hopefully from separate locations, the skies were gray. Even just waiting for the wedding to start, it was pretty cloudy, said one of the pair. You could see the eclipse and then you couldn't see it. In his grandparents' backyard overlooking Lake Waco, Noack walked to the altar of Clair de Lune, Moonlight, by Claude Debussy, the song. Then Vento walked down the aisle to Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. I thought to incorporate the sun and the moon would be amazing. Well, at 1:38 p.m. Central Standard Time, it was time for the total eclipse, and suddenly it came into view with a corona in full display.
Coronavirus?
No, I think they probably meant the other thing.
Oh.
It was perfect, Noack said. I can't believe that the clouds opened up the way they did. Well, Noack and Vento completed their vows just before that moment, and during the 4 minutes and 12 seconds of totality, the sky grew dark, the birds got quiet, and the air felt cool, the couple said. It was something that was beyond understanding, Vento said, just magical. We all got to experience the wedding and then the magical corona. And no, not the virus.
Gotcha.
The rare event turned out to be everything the bride and groom imagined and more, she said. In 40 days, we put out in the universe how we wanted to get married. The universe doesn't have a listening device except for the one who created it, but I don't want to rain on their eclipse.
That almost happened anyway, though.
Almost. And people just came together, our families, everybody and everything aligned for us to be able to do this. And when I walked out and saw everything, I just thought this was beyond my prayers. This was beyond what we were expecting, she said. And the two shall be as one.
So,
in total darkness.
You know, we discussed recently, of course, because we're in a leap year, that, you know, February 29th birthdays, and, you know, do you celebrate every 4 years, yada, yada, yada. The question I have here is, when you have a wedding under an eclipse, does that mean you only celebrate your anniversary every time there's an eclipse?
Wow, that's deep, James.
But I will say, there, you know, one of those things that, you know, they mentioned the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun. One of those controversial, what they call those hot takes or whatever, actually my favorite Beatles song. Not a common choice, I'm told.
Okay.
So there you go.
You might want to phone the couple and tell them.
Obviously, the universe aligned that they would use my favorite Beatles song in their star-aligned wedding.
And then
I'm
we would be talking about it days later.
Yes. My eyes are rolling at the quote-unquote universe's role in their wedding.
Yeah. Well, a Scottish man dressed as a Star Wars character caused a brief stir on a train after it was falsely reported that he was armed. I mean, he looked frightening. Those uniforms are pretty frightening. Was on the train to Dundee for D-Con in my stormtrooper costume, wrote the man known as Grampian Stormtrooper on Facebook on the 6th of April. On the page, Grampian Stormtrooper described himself as a stormtrooper with a Scottish twist, someone who regularly attends conventions or cons dressed in stormtrooper armor and kilt. D-Con, where Grampian Stormtrooper was headed, was held on the 6th of April at the University of Dundee in Scotland, according to the website. Well, the train was stopped shortly after it left the station, and a guard came to chat, asking about the blaster he was carrying. Now, if you're a Star Wars fan, this all makes perfect sense. If
yes,
you're
it
not,
does.
You're sort of scratching your head. Well, the guard asked him to get off the train for a chat. Apparently, someone reported it to the police. Train went back to Aberdeen. Well, met by two firearms officers, three police Scotland officers, two British transit police, had to chat to them all on the train and then in the office. Grampian Stormtrooper was then told to return home for a bag for his blaster. He also was asked not to wear the Stormtrooper armor on the train. Apparently, it was frightening some uninformed passengers. Crazy world we live in, he said. Now, he's referring to people being shaken by this, not the fact that he is a grown man wearing a costume. Anyway, he says, noting that he had been wearing the costume on trains and buses for 10 years with no issues. So it was their fault. The British Transport Police, which patrols the railways in England, Scotland, and Wales, confirmed the incident. Officers received reports of a man with a firearm entering Aberdeen Station just before 9 a.m. on Saturday, April 6th, officers attended alongside colleagues from Police Scotland, and it was determined it was a false alarm. In comments on his post, Grampian Stormtrooper told others the blaster was holstered and he was not brandishing it on the train when police were called. Of course, he had it present, and it wouldn't take much to grab the thing if it were real. Many of the replies to the post were supportive of Grampian Stormtrooper, with one saying the person who called the police had too much time on their hands. Or maybe they'd never seen the movies. Not everybody in the world has. From a personal standpoint, any time I've seen you or anyone else out and about in cosplay or even just people rocking their own personal out-of-the-box style, it makes me smile and just make the world seem a little brighter for a while, wrote another individual. Now, keep in mind, a lot of people have no idea what cosplay is. They read the headlines in newspapers all across the country and around the world, and they're frightened. They see some guy in what looks like unfamiliar armor. He's carrying a weapon. Give him a little attitude. The same person added, please keep doing what you're doing. Well, we'll hope for Grampian Stormtrooper's event to help people know what it is he's doing and hope that somebody doesn't copycat with an actual weapon and do damage.
You know, I go to a lot of these type of conventions myself.
You do, which I have never understood.
Well, you know, it is what it is. And I have to say, every once in a while you hear a story kind of like this or somebody who decided to dress up. Now, mind you, I don't do the dress-up side. The cosplay thing, it's too expensive, and I don't have the time to do it right. Because the people that do this definitely put time and skill into it that I would not have the time to do. However, when you get to these conventions, even the most unrealistic-looking weapons, you have to go through a process where they take a look at the weapon and usually put on a ribbon or whatnot to show that it has been examined to not be a real weapon. So if you're out and about with it and you haven't been peace bonded, I think is what they call it, then you kind of sort of deserve what you get in that scenario because you really should be keeping those things. I understand not wanting to get dressed up at the place because lines can get long.
Yeah.
But keep your fake weapons out of view. That's a quick way to have a part. It's much better to just have people think you're weird than it is to think you're dangerous.
I mean, how many people in Scotland know what cosplay is? You know, who does that? A very small percentage of the population.
Absolutely.
How many people are familiar with this whole scenario? So it makes perfect sense that someone would be alarmed. And, of course, the mantra has been see something, say something. If you don't understand it, if it doesn't
familiar with cons and I saw a stormtrooper get on. Now, I know Star Wars, obviously. But I would be looking around, not for what the guy is doing, but where's the hidden camera? Thinking I'm on some sort of candid camera type thing. Like, huh? What? But yeah, in this day and age, you got to wonder.
Yeah. So you're definitely a Comic-Con kind of guy.
We are a Comic-Con kind of family.
So what do you do? I mean, you walk around and see people in costumes.
What we do typically is we go around a lot of times meeting the people that are in movies and TV shows that we like. Also going to panels and hearing them talk and ask questions about the movies and the roles. We don't typically get involved in the costuming or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, every once in a while you see a costume that goes, wow, you did a really good job. But overall, it's mostly just meeting people with similar interests and meeting the people who played in movies and TV shows you really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to say, when I drive to work in the mornings, I drive by the convention center here in Portland.
Yep.
And every once in a while, there is a Comic Con. It's a comic convention, if you're wondering what that means. There's a Comic-Con and hundreds of people dressed in costumes. First, you see one straggler and it captures your attention. What on earth is that? What's going on? And then you see there, a dozen here, half dozen there, and they're all streaming into the convention center. It's a bit puzzling to me
during the break.
I'll definitely ponder it during the break. Hey, you're listening to The Georgine Rice Show, the Friday edition. We'll be back with more of the lighter side of the news.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
Hey, we're back. I'm Georgine Rice along with James Blend. We're taking a look at the lighter side of the news. If you're in the Portland area, the Christian Outlook is coming up in the second hour of the program here in Seattle. You'll be signing off right after this. James and I will retreat to a small room and weep bitterly. Well, an alligator recently strolled into a Florida woman's home after making its way through a screen door that was latched shut with a magnet. I wouldn't say latched and magnet in the same breath because that isn't really an impediment. But on the 28th of last month, the homeowner, Mary Hollenbeck of Venice, she found the nearly 8-foot-long reptile after she heard a banging sound at her door. I thought it was somebody else who didn't live here trying to get into the wrong house, which is only latched by a magnet. Well, Hollenbeck said that she rose from her living room couch to investigate. She found a very large alligator walking through her home. At that moment, she said she had two initial thoughts. One was, oh, my goodness, I have an alligator in my house. Seems logical. And the second, oh, my goodness, I have an alligator in my house. How am I going to get rid of him? Well, Hollenbeck then went outside and dialed 911, which is what most of us would have done. By that point, she was shaking so badly she didn't know what else or who else to call. Hollenbeck said that the alligator stopped in her kitchen before officers arrived. The alligator was in the house for just over an hour by the time anyone got there and were ready to extract him. Hollenbeck noted that the alligator was clearly frustrated by getting stuck in the kitchen between the island and the counters, and he was just hissing like a snake. Well, deputies from the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office and officers with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission were able to remove said alligator, which measured 7 feet, 11 inches from her home. I just would have been dead on the floor. I would have had a heart attack, a stroke, something, and they would have found my shoes and maybe a hair clip because the alligator would have had me and I just would have been gone. Anyway, the officers said they were very calm, so professional that you'd have thought they did this every day. I can't thank them enough for what they did, she says. She believes the alligator came in from the pond across the street before entering her house. Nobody saw him, and it's very surprising, referring to her neighbors. She added, only in Florida are you going to get an alligator in the house. Thank you. In the Pacific Northwest, that's one thing. We don't have to worry about having a squatter show up at your house. Your home searched by law enforcement with weapons, but you don't have to worry about an alligator showing up in your home.
That's true, but I will dispute the only in Florida part. I have a cousin whose husband, as kind of a weekend side gig, helps out a company that does alligator removals in Texas.
Well, there you go.
So, Florida, you think you have bragging rights here, but no, you really don't.
Well, all I know is we don't get them here in the Pacific Northwest.
You hope.
And I'm grateful. Well, she says only in Florida are you going to get an alligator in your house, but apparently that's not the case. Law enforcement and fire department and all the other folks that came had multiple safety tools and tips on their website for those who find themselves in the presence of an alligator. Alligators less than 4 feet in length. They're not large enough to be dangerous to people or pets. Of course, they would cause me to hurt myself. And should never handle, or rather, you should never handle an alligator, even a small one, because alligator bites can result in serious infection, and it's illegal. Okay.
It's illegal to be bit by an alligator?
Well, I should think it is. If there's an alligator under 4 feet in your swimming pool, on your porch, or in similar situation, call the nuisance alligator hotline. There's a nuisance alligator hotline.
Oh, my.
So at least now we know what to do. The nuisance alligator hotline.
Or call my cousin's husband.
Or, apparently. You know, I have a cat that comes in my yard. Is there a nuisance cat hotline? He and I make contact on a regular basis, and I give him a stern look. I simply jiggle the handle on the back patio door, and we lock eyes. And then when I stand up and move toward the door, indicating you're going to be removed, he will run off. But we have a standing battle going on. Neither of us has touched the other yet. But
it's funny you mentioned that. A couple of days ago, I was home alone. My daughter and wife were out and about, and I heard a noise outside the front door, and I looked, and sitting out there, just
alligator?
Staring at me, were not alligators. Three cats just sitting there, staring at me when I opened the door. One got skittish and ran away, and then there were two, and I'm just like, all right, they're obviously plotting something.
I had no idea what they
were plotting, and thankfully they've yet to carry out that plot, but if I'm not here Monday, that's what happened.
We'll call the cat nuisance number.
Yes.
Well, trillions of bizarro, red-eyed, periodical cicadas that have pumps in their heads and jet-like muscles in their rear ends are about to emerge in numbers not seen in decades and possibly centuries, crawling out from underground every 13 to 17 years with a collective song as loud as jet engines. The periodical cicadas are nature's kings of the calendar. Wow. Well, these black bugs with bulging eyes differ from their greener-tinged cousins that come out annually. They stay buried year after year until they surface and take over a landscape covering houses with shed eco-skeletons and making the ground crunchy. Again, grateful for the Pacific Northwest. This spring, an unusual cicada double dose is about to invade a couple parts of the United States and what University of Connecticut cicada expert John Cooley called cicada-geddon. The last time these two broods came out together in 1803, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote about cicadas in his The Garden Book, mistakenly called them locusts since he was president. Periodic cicadas don't do subtle, Cooley says. If you're fascinated by the upcoming solar eclipse, the cicadas are weirder and bigger, and they'll be around longer. We've got trillions of these amazing living organisms coming out of the earth, climbing up on trees, and it's just a unique experience, a sight to behold if you venture away from your homes. It's like an entire alien species living underground, our feet, and then some prime number years, they come out and say hello in a rather offensive way. And again, they can be so loud, they really do mimic the sound of a jet engine. Some people have to wear a noise canceling headphones or earplugs because
growing up, we had them fairly often in New York in the summertime, and you eventually tune it out and get used to it. But there is the occasional crunch underfoot of an exoskeleton, or two, or three, or four. But if you catch a look at one, they do look like an alien species. They look like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, there are 15 different broods that come out every few years on 17 and 13-year cycles. These two broods that are coming out this time around may actually overlap, but probably not interbreed. The numbers that will come out this year, averaging around 1 million per acre, over hundreds of millions of acres across 16 states. They're mind-boggling, easily hundreds of trillions, maybe quadrillions. This time around, an even bigger adjacent joint emergence will be when the two largest broods, and they actually have numbers, come out together in 2076. I hope to be with Jesus by then. That is the Cicada Palooza. So there you have it.
If I'm still alive, I'll be, well, very, very old, but also that would probably kill me anyway. But I do have an idea, especially as we're heading into the weekend here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you and I should work on a cicada costume for the next Comic-Con.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
People think we're an alien.
Well, they might think that already.
That's probably true.
Anyway, another reason to be grateful that you live in the Pacific Northwest. Hey, we are out of time. Seattle, have a great weekend. I hope you'll join us back here on Monday. In Portland, up next, the Christian Outlook. So stick around. A lot of good information yet to come.
Thanks for listening to the Georgene Rice Show podcast. If you'd like more information on today's guests, please visit the show at kpdq.com and like us on Facebook. And join us live every weekday at 4 for more critical thinking for critical times on 93.9 KPDQ.